Hania lives in Qatar. Israel's choice to specifically kill him in Iran had several results: ended efforts to improve U.S.-Iran relations, closed the window for addressing Iran's nuclear program, impeded chances of a ceasefire in Israel's war on Gaza, and escalated danger of a wider regional war that would involve Americans in another disastrous conflict. By Allison Weir. Ismail Haniyeh, the head of Hamas' political wing, was assassinated on Wednesday in Tehran, where Haniyeh was present for the inauguration of the new Iranian president, Dr. Masoud Pezeshkian. Pezeshkian is known as a moderate who has sought dialogue with the U.S., repeatedly stating that he would pursue negotiations with the United States, a position that seemed to be supported by Iran's supreme leader. The New Statesman reports, Haniyeh has been pushing for months to reach a ceasefire agreement, often clashing with Yahya Sinwar, the head of Hamas's military wing, who opposes a ceasefire deal, and U.S. officials had indicated in recent days that a deal was near. While Israel virtually never admits its assassinations, no one doubts that it perpetrated the murder, especially since Israel had earlier pledged that it would kill Haniyeh. In addition, this is just the latest action in Israel's decades-long campaign against Iran. The assassination came hours after another Israeli attempted assassination in Lebanon killed three civilians. In an interview on NPR, Iran expert Trita Parsi, executive vice president of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, discussed the dangerous and likely intentional ramifications of Israel's provocative action.
Ismail Haniyeh was killed while attending the inauguration of an Iranian president who wanted to re-engage with the United States. What does that mean for this part of the story?
Well, it likely means that whatever window of opportunity the election of Pezeshkian provided for both the United States and Iran to re-engage diplomatically, and as you may know, the Iranian nuclear program has progressed in a way that is very dangerous and necessitates some sort of a diplomatic round of talks to be able to push it back again. But that window has probably, to a large extent, at least in the short and the medium term, been closed. And it is noteworthy, of course, that the Israelis knew exactly where Haniyeh was, mindful of the fact that he lives in Qatar and could have probably done it in Qatar at any moment. They chose specifically to do it while he was in Tehran in order to send a couple of signals. One is potentially the desire to shut down the window of any diplomatic engagement between the U.S. and Iran, but also send a signal that the different groups that Iran is supporting, Hezbollah, the Houthis, Iraqi militias, and Hamas, that they are not safe anywhere, including in Tehran, and that Tehran cannot protect them.
I should note one thing. You say the Israelis did this. I know you're presuming that. We do not have confirmation from Israel that it was involved, and our editor, James Hyder, doubts that Israel would own up publicly to such an act. But this is the accusation that is being made. What is the significance for Israel of what would seem to be a more intense confrontation with Iran? Israel has owned up, of course, to killing a Hezbollah leader. That is a leader of another Iran-linked group.
Well, as you said, if it is Israel that was behind this, then within the span of 12 hours, they have targeted both Hezbollah, Hamas, and Iran at the same time. It's very difficult to see that as something that is not designed to escalate the situation further. We know that from the exchange of fire between Iran and Israel back in April, the Israelis wanted to go much further, but it was the Biden administration that restrained Israel and made sure that it absorbed the blows that Iran gave it in retaliation. The Iranians are likely going to retaliate against this. This is deeply embarrassing for them. And it's going to be very difficult for a lame duck Biden administration to be able to keep a lid on this compared to what they managed to do in April. At the same time, I think we have to recognize, though, that if the Biden administration had pushed and forced a ceasefire much, much earlier, much of this would have been avoided.
Let's talk about the ceasefire, because our correspondent Daniel Estrin tells us that Haniyeh, the man who was killed, was a central figure in negotiating or efforts to negotiate a ceasefire in Gaza. Is that effort now dead?
It seems to, at least in the short and the medium term, not only be dead, but to be deliberately killed. Netanyahu has systematically undermined these negotiations. Israeli media has even reported how he has selectively released intelligence in order to sabotage the talks, but nothing will have sabotaged the talks more than killing the guy on the other side of the negotiating table.
Other experts have also discussed Israel's provocative actions against Iran. There have long been indications that Israel is working to get the U.S. to attack Iran on its behalf as it succeeded with Iraq. On April 3, Colonel Douglas McGregor and Judge Andrew Napolitano laid out the tactics of the Israeli government to embroil the U.S. into its regional war. Israel's lethal attack on Iran's embassy complex in Syria was intended to provoke a retaliation from Iran. Colonel Douglas McGregor is a retired combat veteran who served as a senior advisor to the Secretary of Defense under President Trump. See embedded video in article. On July 24, Colonel McGregor pointed out the devastating consequences a U.S. war with Iran would have for Americans. See embedded video in article. For embedded citations and more articles like this, see IsraelPalestineNews.org.